O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Good morning. You'll find in the pews, probably along the center aisle, the attendance sheets. If you would fill those out, pass them back and forth, take a look who you're sitting with. We would appreciate that. We've got announcements in the bulletin, so please read through those. There will not be Sunday school during church service for the fifth graders and up today. So they'll get to participate with us throughout the service. Tom, you had wanted to make an announcement? Good for you, Tom. Mike, would you like to talk to us?
Thanks, Ted. You see, I have an orange shirt on again today, but I learned after last Tuesday when we unloaded pumpkins, the pumpkins come in all colors. I could get away with wearing a green shirt or a white shirt or a gray shirt, and it all matched the pumpkins that are out in the patch. So Tuesday we received our pumpkins. The truck arrived about 2:30, 2:45. Pastor Cynthia sent out an email and said, it's here early. If you're free and are able, come down and we'll start unloading early. And by 3:30, we had the students from NC were coming straight from NC over to unload pumpkins. We had soccer players from both high schools. We had lots of folks from our church, and we unloaded 2,120 pumpkins in 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's 765 pumpkins an hour, and that did not count the 30 boxes of the little weebies that are about yay big. It didn't count the snowballs, which are white pumpkins that are about 6 inches in diameter, or the gourds. We unloaded those with a forklift. We've been selling pumpkins now for 4 days, and I want to thank the people that had signed up. They've all shown up. on time with smiles on their faces and ready to go to work. And that is partly thanks to John Lansing. He will call those that have signed up one day in advance and remind them. I personally don't believe that adults need to be reminded. However, as I've gotten older, I've changed my tune to that. So we thank John for being able to do that for us. I also want to thank Jane Wallace and Charles McBride for being our money counters. And Amber French yesterday designed and made a new sales ticket form that's really easy to read. And I thank Amber for that. She did it on her smartphone and sitting out in the patch selling pumpkins. She said, this one is, the old one is a little confusing, and I think I can come up with a better mousetrap, and she did. Definitely want to thank all the pumpkin unloaders. Remember that there's a craft fair next Saturday. The beast blessings went well. There wasn't very many beasts, but those that were there were well blessed. And after 4 days of selling pumpkins, we have sold $1,698.25 in 4 days. And it's just starting. So we're going to sell out the patch this year. I really believe that. And even though we got competition, we're the best place in town. Thanks.
I'm sorry, just one quick thing. If you are selling pumpkins and are closing, in the cash box there is a list of who is picking up the money that night, either Jane or myself. Our numbers are on there. If you don't see us, that's okay. If we haven't gotten there by 7, just put it in the kitchen like normal. But often we will be there before the patch closes, so I just didn't want anybody to panic if one of us isn't there. But you can give us a call if you're concerned. So,
thank you. Got one more.
Go right at it.
Yesterday, the Boy Scouts put on a training session for Scoutmasters, and it was done in our fellowship hall. We had 7 Scoutmasters from our district take the course. 5 of those were from Troop 13, which was great. The person that taught the class happened to be my son, and he came up from Denver to teach it. And when he went back, he was taking back $77 worth of pumpkins also. So we got some Colorado money, and the new slogan is, let's turn the patch green, bring money.
Thanks for all your work, Mike. Randy, Sue? And they can go home with you today. Okay. Any other announcements? We'll stand, take a second to greet those around you, and then we will be singing Consider the Lilies. It's an insert in your bulletin.
Put an FYI in there that Becky helped design it. I put it together, but she helped design it. I should give her credit for some of it.
Okay.
sir.
Please join me in the call to worship. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev.
May those who sow in tears
reap with shouts of joy.
Those who sow weeping,
bearing the seeds of sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Lord of creation, create in us a new rhythm of life, composed of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that tickles rather than tackles. Lord of resurrection, may we be raised into the rhythm of your new life, dead to deceitful calendars, dead to fleeting friend requests, dead to the empty peace of our accomplishments. By your ever-restful grace, allow us to enter your Sabbath rest as your Sabbath rest enters into us. As we pray this morning, as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. If you would take out the red chalice hymnal and turn to page 566. Our hymn of prayer today is Be Still My Soul. We'll sing the first two verses. Our children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you here today. There are some pretty flowers behind us in a can right in front of the communion table. I brought those from my yard this morning. The last hollyhock of summer at our house is here. Let's scoot off and make room. You found a spot to sit? This morning in worship, the grown-ups and our older kids are going to hear Jesus say, consider the lilies of the field. Consider, it means think about. Think about the flowers and how pretty they are. Hi, Colin. I'm glad you could join us. Do you want to sit? Come here. Come be my lap buddy today. We got a full house this morning. So Jesus is talking about how even the grass that doesn't live very long at all, just one summer, God makes it beautiful. So we don't have to worry about what we're going to wear because God is going to take care of us. And Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. Yesterday we had a blessing of pets here at church, and I'm wearing my paw print stole this morning. People brought their pets to church for a special blessing, to pray for God's blessing upon the animals that we love. And we know that God loves the animals. And the animals in our lives show us something about God. When you come home after a long day, do you have a dog? I know some of you have puppies at your house.
I have a puppy.
You have a puppy? Is your puppy happy to greet you when you come home? I bet so. The puppy follows you. The puppy runs and greets you. You know, puppies are really good about showing unconditional love. They don't care what we look like, what time of day it is. They love us no matter what. I know that, Colin, you have chickens at your house, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have
5 chickens, 2 dogs, and 1 turtle. Uh-huh. Max just gave us the census count. All those animals show us something about God and about how God cares for all of creation. And if God is going to take care of all the animals, God's going to take care of us too. So it's a wonderful promise that we hear in Scripture today. Will you all pray with me? God, we thank you for caring for the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, all the animals you have made. Thank you for caring for us. All God's children said, amen. Now the younger ones of you can head to Sunday school and worship and wonder, and everybody else can sit back down.
Is 4th grade go?
Yep. As our children are headed out this morning, I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin to see our list of prayer concerns. Our card shower this morning is for Cooper Goodman, who's recovering from ACL surgery. I encourage you to take a prayer card out of the pew rack in front of you. There's a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them and place that card in the offering tray. Kathy Winders is in worship this morning, which must mean she's feeling okay following gallbladder surgery on Friday. We are glad to have her here with us and pray for healing and rest as she stays home tomorrow to get feeling better before she comes back to work in the church office. A joy to share from John and Sharon Lansing. There is a new great-grandson in their family, Jackson Alexander Kostelecki. Anyway, Jackson, I might not have gotten the last name right, but we're glad that he's joined the family and rejoice with them. Prayers for those in treatment for cancer. We continue to pray for Mark Steinle. Mark and Pam will be headed to Denver later this month for extended treatment. Prayers for Matthew Trott, Jackie, and Jerry Meek's grandson. He continues to struggle as well. A long list of folks who need prayers for health, for senior members who aren't able to be here because of age. Our community and world concern list this morning includes those affected by Hurricane Matthew, especially the citizens of Haiti and other islands in the Caribbean, where there was such destruction and death after the hurricane swept through. Citizens in Florida and Georgia, the southeastern coast of the United States who had to evacuate, and those who were affected by flooding. Prayers for all of those communities affected by Hurricane Matthew. The missionary we're lifting up today is Becca Owen, who serves in Swaziland. Prayers for her and the work being done there. And our regional prayer partners are the members of South Broadway Christian Church. Arlen is a member there. He was in town just yesterday. Prayers for their senior minister, Lori Lewis, and their associate pastor, Dustin Adkins. Today, we're also praying for South Suburban Christian Church in Denver. Paul Halleck is preaching there this morning at 3 different services as they say farewell to Daryl Shrum, their longtime founding pastor who is retiring. Prayer is a blessing for Daryl and for that congregation as they move ahead. Are there other concerns this morning or joys that we want to share? Tom.
Friday night at bowling there, Bill Stafford, his wife named Becky, she fell down and she died. We don't know why. So she was the age of 45.
Oh my goodness.
So
Prayers for Bill and all the family and friends of Becky Safford, who died suddenly. What a horrible shock. Raylan.
Our son, Raylan, was in the hurricane area, so they evacuated, went into some friends' place, inland further, got back home yesterday, and little damage to his place, not a lot. He's going to check with insurance.
We are thankful that Raylan and all those he knows who evacuated are safe and back home. Thank you for that personal update. Dennis. Prayers for Greg Moline and all those who are mourning the passing of Cindy McCurdy.
Back here.
Becky.
Dave is having ear surgery in Denver on Thursday, and Amber's having foot surgery here on Friday.
Prayers for Dave Foster, who will have surgery in Denver on Thursday, and for our own Amber French, will have foot surgery on Friday. Prayers for recovery. And the choir is taking off next Sunday, right? Because you are not going to stand up in front of them to wave around. Martha. Prayers for Dorothy Jones. Is she back at Shepherd now, as far as you know? Okay. Let us bring all these concerns and other prayers in our lives to the Lord as we share in a time of silence. O God of all creation, you watch over the plants of the field, the animals of the earth, and surely we know that you watch over men and women, boys and girls, your children the world over. Holy and loving God, we pray for your healing hand to be upon those that we have named today. Watch over Kathy and Cooper as they recover from surgery. Be with Dave and Amber this week as they receive surgery. Bring them healing. Help the ear surgery to restore Dave's balance and help Amber's foot surgery to ease the pain that she's lived with for so long. Oh God, we rejoice at the birth of a new great-grandson. We celebrate with John and Sharon and pray your blessing upon little Jackson. Lord, we ask you to watch over Mark and Matthew, others who live with cancer. And we give thanks for doctors and nurses who provide medical treatment, for researchers who seek cures to disease, and we pray for your healing hand in the world. Lord, we ask you to be present with those whose lives have been disrupted by Hurricane Matthew. We're thankful that Raylan has returned safely home after evacuating, and there was not much damage at his house. We pray for him and for so many others who will be rebuilding after the storm. We pray especially for the people of Haiti and all those families who are grieving loved ones. God, we ask you to be with Greg as he mourns for Cindy. Bill, as he grieves for Becky, for others who have known devastating losses, we pray for your healing presence and your spirit of peace. Lord, be with Dorothy Jones as she returns from Wyoming Medical Center to Shepherd of the Valley, and be with others who are in nursing homes and in their own homes who need constant care. Be with their families and caregivers. God, we thank you for the work of Becky Owen in Swaziland, for Lori and Dustin and all the members of South Broadway Christian Church. We pray your blessing upon Paul Halleck this morning as he preaches at South Suburban, and we ask you, God, to guide that congregation into the future and strengthen their ties with other disciples in our region. Lord, in the moments of our lives, we often turn to you when we know great need. May we also turn to you in simple times, when we glimpse golden aspen leaves shaking in the breeze, a blue sky or a starry night, orange pumpkins in a field, and laughing children. May all the glimpses of nature and creation around us call us to see you, the Creator, who cares for each sparrow who falls. May we give you praise, Holy One, in the simplest moments of life, as well as in the most profound times when we turn to you in need. Bless all your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
The table of the bread and cup is now ready. It's the table where we meet with Jesus and all who love him. It's the table of sharing with the poor with whom Jesus identified himself. And it's the table of communion with our earth. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more, you who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time, you who have tried to follow Jesus, and us who have failed.
Come. It is Christ who invites us, each and every one of us, without restriction, to join at this table.
Please join in the communion hymn, number 163 in the chalice, praise hymnal.
Thank you.
as we come to this table, we are reminded that Jesus invites all who long to know God's love, who need to have our sins forgiven and our souls fed. Whether you're a member here or visiting this morning, you are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Eternal Creator, without your gift of bread and wine, we would die. Let us not starve our spirits, but let us come with thanksgiving to eat of this communion bread and drink of this wine today. Be present, O God, within us, so that even our prayers may be guided by your Spirit. Spur us on in our daily quest to be of greater service to you and to others. Amen. Thank you.
Offer the Lord a sacrifice of praise. When we worship with people, we worship with people from various traditions, different presentations, different languages, and different thought processes. But that's part of what it means to become a member of a community as diverse as the church. And perhaps that helps us to understand why we might require some sacrifice of ourselves. Offer your worship today as a sacrifice rather than requiring others to sacrifice for your pleasure or your contentment. There's something to the notion that becoming one as God is one, but it doesn't mean that we're all the same. It just means that we're united by one Spirit. After all, we can become one only if there are many of us to begin with. The diaconate will now wait upon us for our tithes and offerings. Our Father, we bring these gifts from our sacrifices to you so that you can put them to work not only in our lives, but those of the entire congregation and our community. Help us to understand that this financial offering is not just an indication to pay the bills of last month or to pay the bills of next week, but help us to use that so that we can impact our lives and those lives around us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 through 27, and you will find them in page 897. Make sure I'm correct on that. Yes, or 847 and 848 in your Chalice Bible. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. In your Pew Bible, New Testament, you'll find it on page 6. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33. Jesus is speaking. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we drink, or what will we eat, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for your gift of music today, and thanks to Diane for playing. Will you pray with me? Oh God, you have clothed the grass in the fields. You feed the birds of the air. How much more you care for us. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet Joel offers a word of hope after great famine has devastated the land, after the Israelites have suffered. He offers a word of hope for all creation, speaking even to the soil, do not fear. God is watching over you. That same message comes to us as part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's often helpful when you read a passage of Scripture to read a few verses before and after to know the context that that word comes in. Jesus was preaching and teaching to the crowds. In Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who grieve and mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus goes on from there in Matthew 6, continuing to teach, teaching about prayer, giving us, in fact, the Lord's Prayer in that chapter. He speaks about fasting, and then he talks about treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, verse 19 says, where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, in verse 25, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. So this passage, these verses that we hear about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, are set in the context of a conversation about economics. Remember that context. We'll come back to it in a minute. Don't worry. Be happy. You remember that song? Oh, about a decade ago. It was on the radio all the time. Little Jamaican tune, kind of catchy. Some people loved it and some people hated it. You heard it so much for a while that it kind of got stuck in your brain. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry. You have got to be kidding. Look at the world around us. Read the paper, turn on the news. We've got plenty to worry about. Hurricane Matthew, for starters. Global warming. Changing economy. Let's not even venture near politics this morning. We've got lots to worry about, and that's just the world, let alone our own personal lives. Making next month's car payment or mortgage. Living on a fixed income, worrying if you're going to have enough for retirement, worrying if your kids are going to have enough to live on, worrying if your grandkids are even going to make it out of high school. And then you worry about that cancer diagnosis that a friend got, that relationship that's on rocky ground. You get up in the morning and you go to your closet and you think, what on earth am I going to wear today? And you struggle trying to pick from all those dozens of outfits what is most appropriate. And, well, you perhaps turn to the freezer where there's a dozen possible meals. What am I going to cook for supper tonight? What do you mean, don't worry? You've got to be kidding. Thanksgiving is coming. There are some people who have an annual practice of every year at Thanksgiving counting your blessings. Sometimes it brings you great insight to even write down on a piece of paper all the blessings that God puts in your life. But let me tell you, friends, you don't need to write down what you're worried about because you'll run out of paper. The list keeps going and going and going. Don't worry. Well, maybe Jesus was just a little bit clueless when he said that. After all, he lived in simpler times. He didn't have to face all the complex decisions in the world today. The people he was speaking to when he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Instead of a closet full of clothes, most typically they had one outfit, maybe two. a simple hand-spun garment and a cloak. I can imagine someone listening to Jesus say, don't worry about what you're going to wear, and feeling the threadbare fabric on their back, wondering, I don't have time to spin another one before this winter. It's going to be cold. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. The folks Jesus was talking to didn't have a freezer full of food to turn to, or a fast food restaurant down the street, or a grocery store with endless varieties to choose from. Instead, they worried, is the garden in the backyard going to give us enough food to get us through the winter? Don't worry. You've got to be kidding. In the Greek, when Jesus says, don't worry, the word he uses doesn't mean don't think about it. He's not saying don't even give it any consideration. He's not telling us, you're as beautiful as the birds of the air. Go outside in your birthday suit. It's the way God made you. Don't worry about it. That's not quite what Jesus is saying. And he's not saying, don't have a job, just sit home. God is going to give you manna from heaven. Well, that did happen once in history, but God expects us to get up and work and live. But the word, don't worry, sometimes translated as don't be anxious. In the Greek, it has the connotation, don't be overly anxious. Don't make this thing your top priority in life. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, because there are things in this world more important, even than clothing or food. Those basic essentials that we need for a physical life, there is something in this world, Jesus is saying, that's a higher priority than that. Remember how I mentioned this teaching is set in the context of a little discourse on economics. Jesus indirectly is drawing a comparison between the economy of money, the economy of this world, of physical comfort and material wealth. He's drawing a contrast with the economy of God, the kingdom of heaven, the economy of love and relationship. If you think about it this way, you've got a pile of coins representing the economy of money. You get rid of some of those coins, you've got fewer coins. Your pile is getting smaller. It's an economy of scarcity. There's a limited amount of resources. It's only going to go so far no matter what. Now compare that with a pile of love. If you give love away, you end up getting more. God works in an economy of abundance. When we know that the Lord is with us, there is always enough. There is more than enough. Jesus reminds us to think about the birds that fly in the air. The most common bird in Palestine at the time of Jesus was a simple sparrow. Not very flashy or colorful, not very big. Think about that little sparrow, Jesus said. In Matthew 10, he says, is not a sparrow worth more than a penny? In Luke 12, are not five sparrows worth more than two pennies? Yet you cannot change a hair on your head, and God knows when a sparrow falls. Counting the economic value of the world around us, Jesus is pointing out that to us, what is worth the least amount, God pays attention to. And you, my friends, children of the Most High God, are worth far more than all the sparrows in the world. God's love is abundant. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. In Jesus' day, sowing and reaping, gathering into barns, that was primarily the labor of men to work in the field, to plant and to harvest. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. In Jesus' day, most of the fabric arts, that was the work of the women, the spinning, the making of cloth and clothing. Whether you're a man or a woman, God is present for you, watching over you and caring about you. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Do not put your priorities in the wrong place. Do not stress every moment of every day, pondering what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. For it is the Gentiles, in Greek the ethne, the pagans, the people who don't know God. For it is those folks who have never met God who worry and strive for all these things. But if you know the Lord, if you've met Jesus, you understand that God will be present with you with great abundance, even in times of scarcity. Part of being a follower of the Lord is knowing that you belong to a community. So even if you only have a little bit to eat on any given day, you're somehow compelled by the love of God when you meet a brother or sister who is hungry to share what you have with them. And in sharing that food, you find that somehow you are filled more deeply than the food could do on its own. It's not a surprise that this teaching of Jesus comes shortly after he's talked about the Lord's Prayer. Ask God each day for your bread, and God will give it to you. We might not get filet mignon every day, but there's going to be enough. Even today, when the earth's population has multiplied many times over from what it was when Jesus lived, even today, there is enough food in the world to feed all of God's children. The challenge is that some of us have more than our share. So how do we get the food from where it's grown to where the people who need it most might be? If we live in the kingdom of God on this earth, we focus not so much on the scarcity, but on the abundance of God's love. And we know that there is enough, there will be more than enough. If we trust in God, we know that even when a hurricane comes and knocks our house off its foundations, we're still alive. And God is still with us. And we're part of a community that will rebuild. In fact, we're part of a broad community where strangers from far away will reach out and help. Consider the lilies of the field. The grass that blooms and outshines Solomon's glory. In your Father's eyes, no matter what clothes you pick out of your closet, you are more beautiful than the sweetest rose in the world. Consider the birds of the air. Whatever hunger there may be in your life, God is enough to fill it. God gives enough and more than enough. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today is enough for today. Live simply in the present moment. And know that God is with you. Amen and amen. Our hymn of invitation and dedication today is number 627, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. If there's anyone here this morning who's never given your life to God, we encourage you to do so and promise that you will be blessed abundantly. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome new members here at First Christian by confession of faith or transfer of membership and baptism into Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand and sing together, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. If you want to buy a pumpkin pie, see Randy Sue. I can testify they taste wonderful. There is a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments. We encourage you to stay a few moments, especially if you're a visitor today. We invite you, if you have time, to get acquainted with others around you who've been here for worship this morning. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, walk with us as we walk among the grasses of the field, beneath soaring birds. May we see your hand, O God, in all creation, and know that as long as Christ is with us, it will be enough. In Jesus' name, amen.